Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the Equippers International podcast, where we're studying the book of Romans. In the last episode, we finished chapter 5, so we're going to turn our attention now to chapter 6. But before we get into the verse by verse, there's just a few things I want to do, I think, in this episode to help us prepare for where we're headed in chapter 6. First, I just want us to pause and just reflect a little bit on where we've been. You know, as I've sat with the book of Romans many times over the years, it's like you begin to feel the movement of the book, if I can put it that way. I was reflecting on this episode in the last day or so and just thinking about how I would describe what I experience in the book of Romans. One of the illustrations I come up with in my mind's eye is it's kind of like a symphony or, you know, a musical work of art. And it's like there's a great crescendo. There's one of those great moments in the symphony where the whole symphony reaches this very emotional climax and the music is building and it's just very, very moving. And in many ways, I feel like that's what the end of chapter 5 does in the book of Romans. Paul reaches this crescendo event. And we looked at it in the last episode, and he makes this incredible statement that where sin abounds, there grace superabounds. Now, that's a pretty high place to end up, because Paul has taken us through this journey where he has methodically laid out before us that every single person is shut up under sin. They're guilty. They need a Savior. And Jesus comes to provide what was necessary. And then he gives us this beautiful illustration of Abraham as the example of how to enter in to this wonderful place that God has provided. And it's just through the simplicity of believing. And then in chapter 5, we saw how Adam and Christ serve as those representative head men of the human race, and how we receive the benefit of what Christ has done simply on the basis of believing and receiving the gift by the grace of God, so that we stand before God in a position of being justified, reconciled, and fully righteous. And wow, what an amazing process this has been to see this movement, to see Paul as like a master of understanding the gospel, presenting it to us in such a understandable way. And it has so much life-changing power in it. And it shouldn't surprise us, because Paul's already told us that the gospel, the good news, is the power of God unto salvation. It is what God has done so that we can be saved from our old human condition and be brought into our God-designed role as human beings. I love what N.T. Wright says, a New Testament scholar. He says, we've been brought back into our vocation. Our vocation is something that we were created to do. And this is the essence of what happened at the fall. It's not just that we got all entangled in individual sins. Yes, that's a byproduct of what happened on a more cosmic scale, where the whole human race was deceived into entering into a function or a vocation, if you will, that was subpar. It was less than what God designed us to be and to do. And so Jesus comes to bring full restoration, to bring us back into that place of fully functioning God-created people. And this is the promise of what the gospel is able to do. So as we reflect back on this journey so far, I just want to put it in context. Now, there's a couple of things that are going to begin to happen in chapter 6 that I believe are very, very foundational for us to understand. Because remember, I've talked about it all along our study, The gospel is about a bigger narrative. It's about something on a grand scale. And what I mean by that is if we see the gospel as only God's provision for us to be forgiven of our sins and then one day go to heaven, we're going to miss a lot of what God wants us to understand about the good news. So this is where Paul is going to continue to move us. He's going to move us into areas of truth regarding the good news of God that are going to open up the gospel for us at so many deeper levels. Now, in chapter 6, Paul is going to begin a discussion that has to do with two very important truths. One is the nature of the power of sin and the believer's relationship to that power of sin as a result of being in Christ. Now, that's a mouthful, and I'm going to spend a lot of time unfolding that truth, but we're going to talk about the power of sin in the life of the believer and what Christ has done in order for us to walk in victory with relationship to the power of sin. The second very important truth that's going to begin to surface in Paul's presentation throughout the next few chapters is our participation with Christ. Now, this is a very, very important truth and one that escapes a lot of believers' understanding of their relationship with God. This whole process of our faith response not only empowers us to receive the gift that God has given us, but it also grafts us in, so to speak. It brings us into participation with what Christ did on the cross. Now, that's also a mouthful, and we're going to spend a lot of time developing this truth as well. But first, let's talk about this idea of sin. Now, we mentioned already that at the end of chapter 5, Paul makes this crescendo statement, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Now, what I want to do in this episode and the remainder time that I have is I kind of want to open our minds to thinking about sin in different ways. The way most Christians think about sin is they think about those individual acts that they do, either sins of commission or sins of omission. They either commit sin or they sin by not doing what they should do. And I think a lot of Christians live in kind of that realm when it comes to sin. And so they become very sin conscious. They become very aware of the things that they're doing that they know are not pleasing to God, or the things that they're not doing that would be pleasing to God if they would do them. And they get into this whole arena of managing sin in their lives. And so they receive some comfort in knowing that God has forgiven them, but this becomes a very confusing and complex process of our Christian journey. And this is a really important area for us to understand regarding the gospel and what God has done for us. So when it comes to our individual sins, God has made the perfect provision for those, and He made that provision through forgiveness. See, the greatest thing that can happen in a person's life is that they will know and experience their sins being forgiven. You know, this is the only mention that Paul makes in the whole book of Romans about the forgiveness of sin. And it's in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, where Paul quotes David as saying, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account." You see, now this is the promise toward our individual sins of commission and our sins of omission. God forgives them. God covers them. And because of that, we are blessed. And we can live in the constant forgiveness by appropriating the finished work of Christ on the cross. Forgiveness is not something that we have to grovel for. It's not something that we have to beg God for. It's the gift of God, and we're blessed as people who know that our sins are forgiven. So this is a very powerful and foundational truth to the gospel. But Paul takes us to a whole different realm in chapter 6. He's going to introduce us to the truth about the power of sin. Now, the power of sin is something altogether different than our individual sins. The power of sin is that which was released into the world through Adam's one act of disobedience. Everything we looked at in chapter 5. When Adam made the choice to disobey God and to commit the one act of disobedience that God told him not to do, sin entered in, and as a result, death came. So this power of sin is a very real thing. It's a very real dynamic. Now, the way I like to think about it, I don't know if it might help you, I like to personify this idea of sin. And this is really what God does in the scripture. If you go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, the first mention of sin is actually in Genesis chapter 4, where you have the account of Cain and Abel. And God comes to Cain and he says, "Why is your countenance so downcast?" And he says, "If you do well, your countenance can be lifted up." Because Cain was disappointed and angry that God did not receive his sacrifice, but he received Abel's sacrifice. And Cain was becoming bitter and enraged toward his brother Abel. And God knew that Cain had murderous thoughts in his heart. And he makes this statement to Cain. He says, "Sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you. You must master it." So this is a very powerful and telling statement. Right here, early on in the scripture, we learn that sin is something that God even personifies. God speaks of it as something that has a desire for you. This is not sin as we've defined it as acts of commission and acts of omission. No, this is a force outside of ourselves that is working against us to cause us to commit sins, to cause us to commit those deeds that are displeasing to the Lord. And this is what is working against us. And this is what Paul is speaking of in his discussion in chapter 6. And this is going to become a very, very powerful truth. The reason why I love focusing on this truth in Romans chapter 6 is because it's such a vital part of my own personal testimony, my own personal experience with the Lord. So just to go back a little bit and give you some history about me personally and why this truth is so powerful to me. When I was 22 years old, I came to know the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. I met him in a very life-changing way. And I personally experienced the power of him forgiving me of all my sins. And at that point in my life, believe me, there were a lot of sins to be forgiven. For I was a very active, naughty boy. And I wasn't even a boy anymore. I was a young man. I was 22 years old. And I had spent several years already living for the devil. And I was very much involved in lifestyle and habits and activities that were very sinful. Let's just leave it at that. And there was a lot in my life that was going on that needed the grace and forgiveness of the Lord. And I found that full and unconditional forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And it transformed my heart. It turned me into a Jesus freak. When I understood what Jesus had done for me on the cross and I received his forgiveness, I just loved him for it. And I love the scripture that says, "He who's forgiven much loves much." And from that day, I have truly just been in love with Jesus for what he did for me once I understood the significance of him forgiving my sinful acts. But that was really just the door. That was the process of me coming into a fuller understanding. So what happened in my life and my testimony is that once I became a believer, I recognized that my sins, though being forgiven, there were still habits and activities in my life that were very learned behavior that I had to walk through a journey to get free from. And I think a lot of Christians can relate to this experience. And this is where the power of Romans 6 comes in. Because what we have to understand as believers is our journey into the freedom from committing acts of sin is not in getting better at doing less sinful actions. Now follow this. It's not getting better at sinning less. It's coming into the reality and the truth of what God has done for us in relationship to the power of sin. And this is what Paul is going to do in Romans chapter 6. He's going to show us God's perfect provision for us in and through Christ Jesus, whereby we participate with him and we are freed from the power of sin. And this is exactly where Paul's taking us in this discussion. And you remember, I've alluded to it already, in Romans chapter 5 at the end, he says that beautiful statement, where sin abounds, grace superabounds. Now there's two ways of looking at that. One way is to say where all the sinful actions of our lives abound, we can just keep sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning, grace will always superabound. That means that the blood of Jesus on the cross, the free gift of forgiveness by the grace of God, will always be available. It has to be because it's based on the truth of Jesus' sacrifice. And we looked at that in detail in our study of the book of Hebrews. I alluded to it last time. Go back and listen to those episodes. They're very important for laying this foundation of the forgiveness of God, for what the writer of Hebrews calls eternal redemption. There is nothing that any person on earth can do that will out-sin the power of the blood of Jesus. And this should come as very good news. Another way of looking at this statement is to say where the power of sin, where this external power working against us, where its power increases, grace super increases. The grace of God is always greater than the power of sin. This is why we can walk in victory. This is why we have everything necessary to live free from the power of sin. So no matter how you look at it, Paul is saying the grace is greater. Now, if you are an astute Christian and you listen to what's going on around you, whether you participate in church or whether you're in a small group, you know that there are many discussions related to the grace of God. One of those discussions has to do with people that will take the grace of God too far, and they will encourage people that you can continue to do whatever you want to do because the grace of God is greater. Well, this is not a new discussion. In fact, Paul is going to deal with that head on right here in Romans chapter 6. Paul understands that if he's going to take us to this highest place of crescendo, where sin abounds, grace abounds more, he knows that people in their minds are going to be thinking, okay, wait a minute, Paul, that sounds really good, but how does that actually apply to our lives? How do we actually live that out? And this is why Paul is such a master at explaining the gospel for us, because if the gospel is only about forgiveness, then yes, we probably could abuse God's willingness to forgive. And we could just say, well, we know God's going to forgive us and we know his grace is enough. So, you know, we actually don't have to be worried about what we do and we can do whatever we want to do. But this would be a terrible way to look at God's provision for us because it fails to see the fullness of everything God has done for us in Christ. You see, God has provided everything we need so that we will sin less. That will happen as a natural result of living in the reality of everything God has done for us in Christ. And this is exactly what Paul's getting ready to do in Romans 6. He's going to start Romans 6 with this critical question. And this is where I'm going to end the episode today. I'm just going to quote Romans 6, verse 1, and then that's where we'll pick up in the next episode. He says, "What shall we say then?" Well, what is he asking the question in relationship to? He's asking the question in relationship to everything he has said for 5 chapters in the book of Romans, and I believe specifically at the very end of chapter 5. If Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. What shall we say then? What should be our response to this incredible truth? He says, are we to continue in sin so that grace may just increase? And he says, may it never be. Then he's going to tell us the most beautiful and profound truth in regards to sin. And this is where the gospel is going to become so rich, so incredibly life-giving, where Paul's going to begin to unpack some of the deep riches of the truth of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. So as we approach this chapter, just prepare yourself to be open to understanding these fundamental truths about your relationship to the power of sin as a result of being in Christ. And we'll go into more detail about your and my participation with Christ as a result of our faith in Him. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.